Jesus' healings are always about restoration, about bringing things back together that are broken. And that is our calling too. So in this story, you have to put it within the historical context. Women were not allowed to be disciples. And sitting at the feet of Jesus is the posture of a disciple. What Jesus is saying is, these boundaries too will be broken. That is not that Martha was in the kitchen. Martha might have liked to be in the kitchen. It was that Martha really didn't seem to enjoy being in the kitchen. She wanted to be somewhere else. Jesus, please tell my sister to come in here and help me, thereby triangulating the whole situation, which is a whole other issue. But Mary has chosen the better part, because see, life is all about balance. Not only doing, serving in the kitchen, I mean, most of the time I do the cooking, right? I mean, for many, many years, my wife would come home from work later, much later than I did, in my role, which was not given to me. It was a role I willingly and lovingly took on. Was the whole idea, hopefully, most nights it was edible, but the supper would be on the table and a glass of wine waiting for her, right? I mean, you know, that's how you should be greeted when you come. So it's not about the what. It's a matter of what are the boundaries that you feel constraining who you are. And Jesus is saying there are boundaries. If Mary wants to work in the kitchen, that is great. And if Martha wants to sit at the feet of Jesus, that is great, because both of those realities are something that the new kingdom of heaven, the kingdom is near, and this is what it's about. It's about those boundaries, those things being broken in our world. It is about balancing both the being and the doing in this life, as we are called to reflect on who we are, to embrace our mission statement, both the churches and our own personal ones in this world and in this life, and to constantly be in that process of being and doing, and in the process learning more and more every single day who we are as a child of God in this world. But there's more. Go ahead. It is also about freedom and restoration. It is freedom and restoration because we find that we live in a world, and this is becoming more and more of a reality that we're aware of. We live in a world where things are changing, and opportunities that were never available to our parents and our grandparents are now becoming available for our children and our grandchildren. And some may find this change an awkward thing and fight against it. We always find that. But it's also oftentimes a restoration. It is an opening up of the possibilities of hope in this world, to be able to see a world in which our sons and our daughters can dream dreams, and our old men visions, and our young men dream, or however that goes. I goofed it up. Read it, you'll find it out. Anyway, but those boundaries that are broken, that we're called into, where God is calling us, period. And that's where we are called in this world. But Martha, no, she was still stuck in her role that she had to do these things in order to fit into her role of who she was. And then Jesus responds. Don't worry, be happy.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double.
This is Bobby McFerrin. Originally it was Bob Marley.
Be happy, don't worry, be happy now.
And it's more than just being happy, because, you know, if you're really, really having a tough time in life and you pay, you know, a couple of hundred bucks an hour to go see some college psychologist and they go, don't worry, be happy. You're feeling that your money wasn't really used all that well. But that's kind of what they do. They help you through that process. That's kind of what the whole process is. You spend a lot of money to go through the process of getting rid of all of those things that are standing in the world and standing in your way, so you can, like, not worry so much and just kind of be happy with where you are in life, because life sometimes hands you a bunch of great stuff and sometimes life hands you a bunch of just absolutely ungodly, horrible stuff. And in the midst of it, there's always that kernel of where we can find peace in this world. And so as the children of God, we, in essence, one of our goals, one of our callings, is to embrace and to break the norms of where we have been. Not that where we have been is a bad thing. Sometimes where we have been is a good thing. And so in looking at them, we're able to embrace those things. But sometimes there are also those various things that bind us and hold us down. And that statement down at the bottom, we've never done it this way before, just to let you know that any time you hear that in a church, you have to understand that is somebody who is trying to kill the church, right? You know, we've never done it this way before. Why, back when I was young, we had a Luther League that was this big, and we did all these sorts of things. And what about Sunday school? We always had Sunday school. Every church that I know of is dealing with all of these things. How do we teach our children? What about Sunday school? What about our youth group? How do we put it all together? But things are changing in a very changing world. And it's not a matter of taking the current reality and trying to stuff it back into what was, but to find a new reality that manages to look at where we are and to bring the kingdom near. We're called, in essence, to go surfing. This is used in a lot of some more church growth stuff. The names are forgetting me right now. But anyway, and they call about the tsunami, the coming tsunami. There are changes coming. This world is changing. The community is changing. Our whole world is changing. And our call as a church is not to sit out there in a stationary, stagnant place and let the waves wash over us, but to understand that these waves and waves of change that are coming in are actually a gift from God. The world is changing. God is calling us to get our surfboards out and to ride these surfs of change, to ride these tsunamis of change in such a way that we are the children of God in this new reality, whatever this new reality may be. And what it was yesterday is not the same of what it's going to be tomorrow, and we need to have ourselves open and flexible about what that might be. It is about a clean slate. If you were to take everything away, we don't meet on Sunday, we don't meet at 10:30 in the morning, we don't sing the liturgy, we don't have any hymns. We have some gospel words, we have some water, and we have some food to gather around. If that's all you had, how would you design and be the church in the ever-changing community? I don't have the answer, but that's kind of where we're at. That's who you're called to be. How do we be the church in this ever-changing community? And the rules are out the window, because God isn't about all of those we've done it this way and these rules. They're not necessarily bad. They grew out of a long history of people struggling with the same thing, but we're also struggling with it. Don't forget your past, but don't let it bind you into or lock you into a dead-end way. We're called to love God, love others. Pretty much it. I mean, One of the jobs of, I talk about a psychologist who, you know, who they get lots of money to say, don't worry, be happy. Well, a pastor's job is to basically teach the community, love God and love others. All right, end of story. You have now passed seminary. You know everything, right? All the rest, that just kind of gets added onto it. It's what's known as adiaphora. Yeah, that's the extra stuff. Some of it's important and some of it isn't. So what is your calling? Not only as individuals, but as a congregation. Who are you called to be in this changing reality? You've got a wave of people coming into North Pole, right? Whole wave coming in. What's your reality? How are you going to surf that one? I don't have the answers. You live here, and you have probably a much, much better understanding of that than I do. My only calling for recommendation for you is no stress. Don't worry. Be happy about it. Learn to surf. Have fun with it. That's where God is calling you. Have fun with the surf coming in. And don't forget to find balance along the way. Because as you find balance, it's not only about what you do as this faith community, but take time to sit down in the quiet and reflect upon and to pray and to study the scriptures. As you go about this constant reality of action and reflection, of learning who you are, of studying who God has called you to be, of going out into the community and becoming that and working at it and letting that inform what you pray about and what you study and let that inform what you do and let that inform what you pray and what you study and round and round and round it goes as you begin to surf this new reality of a changing world that comes into our lives. And don't forget the keel, because this is the keel to your... Because the winds of change are coming. And if you have ever been on a sailboat, you lift the keel up, you're not going anywhere, right? Those winds are just going to, you're sunk. You're all over the place. You need to have something also, something that grounds you. And yes, that is history. You don't throw out all of history. You put it in a proper perspective. Your history, your mission, this is who you're called to be. That's the keel in the water. As the Spirit blows the winds of change in this world, and you navigate through this surf of a changing world. And then teach your children along the way. You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by and still become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would try, so just look at them and sigh, ah, and they know they love you. We now continue with our hymn for the day. We Are Called, number 720.